right. Good evening, everybody. February 20th, 2023. Raw just went off the air. Makes you wonder if we're going to get a stipulation regarding Finn Balor and Edge at WrestleMania. You know, Edge planting those seeds more and more that he doesn't have much time left. And as we've talked about numerous times the last bunch of months, that Edge has announced 2023 will be his final year. Now, I personally think that he will not be 100% retired. I think that 2023 will be his final year being an active member of the roster. Similar to what we get with Cena, similar to what we get with some others, Undertaker before, he pretty much physically couldn't do it anymore. But makes you wonder, man, would they dare do a loser retirement match at WrestleMania? I think it's a little too predictable, but, you know, and listen, I think a lot of us will admit Finn Balor versus Edge, we thought that this feud would be over, especially after the Elimination Chamber, but we probably have six more weeks of it. But look, on the way out, Edge giving a nice rub to Austin Theory tonight. Austin Theory, you know, adding another win under his belt against somebody, you know, just one of the greatest of our generation. So, you know, we will see what happens. Roderick says, loser leaves Raw. I like that, but I don't, you know, with WWE and wrestlers could show up on either roster, I don't think that would make that big of a deal. If Edge went to SmackDown, you know, would it really, put it this way, would that be a stipulation that people really would feel at WrestleMania? Yeah, I think people would be like, oh, then I don't care if he wins or he loses or he loses. You know, the worst thing that happens is he's on SmackDown instead of Raw. So I don't think for WrestleMania standards, I don't think a stipulation of going from one brand to the other would cut it. You know, speaking of Austin Theory, you know, mark it down on your calendars, everybody. Monday, March 6th, WWE Raw will be in Boston, Massachusetts, and John Cena is going to be on Raw. So that is 2 weeks from today. That would give you 26 days away from WrestleMania at that time. Expect Austin Theory to have his confrontation with John Cena. John Cena, you know, we can't wait to hear the promo of Austin Theory mocking him, using all his catchphrases, maybe even accusing Austin Theory of not being an original. You know, just do your own thing, you know, create your own. And that's going to lead to their match at WrestleMania. And I tell you, from top to bottom, I'm feeling it. I'm feeling it. I mean, you know how it is every year. There's always a group out there that will say, you know, WrestleMania looks like shit on paper, or it doesn't seem all that good. And then what ends up happening, Mania goes down and everybody's like, you know what, that was better than I thought, or it was pretty damn good. This year's WrestleMania is going to be banging. I mean, when was there a WrestleMania? It wasn't. But I will say this, I do question a match that was teased tonight. Now, I'm not going to crap on it, and I'll tell you why. You know, we were wondering, like, what's going to happen with Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania if they dare go with Bray Wyatt versus Bobby Lashley, which a lot of people still feel like it doesn't feel like it's happening. You would have thought, especially since Lashley came out tonight, issued a challenge to the locker room, issued a statement that no one could break out of the Hurt Lock, you would have thought, since Bray Wyatt issued that challenge to the winner, that we would have gotten a tease tonight of Bray Wyatt. You know, even if it was just a promo, even if the lights just went out, even if we heard the theme music, even if it was a Firefly Funhouse segment, we got nothing. Bray Wyatt did not confront Bobby Lashley tonight. But someone did confront Brock Lesnar. And my friends, if you didn't see Raw tonight, I'm going to break the news to you. Omos, through the voice of MVP. MVP called Brock Lesnar a coward for losing the way he did at Elimination Chamber. But someone who does not stand down to Brock Lesnar is Omos. Omos issues the challenge to Brock Lesnar for WrestleMania. I'll be honest with you. This was not the match that I expected Brock Lesnar to have at WrestleMania. It almost feels like WWE may have asked Brock, look, I know you were going to take on Lashley at WrestleMania, but we got to add a little bit extra to Elimination Chamber. So how's about you do the Elimination Chamber against Bobby Lashley, and we'll give you a little bit of an easier match at WrestleMania. Remember, everyone, this is not to throw shade at Brock Lesnar. But Brock Lesnar, he punches his card, he does his job, he punches out, he goes home. You know, like, he's not emotionally attached to wins and losses, you know. Plus, think of this. There was no storyline today where Adam Pearce suspended Brock Lesnar for his actions, you know, didn't take any ramifications for what happened at the Chamber. So Brock Lesnar, you know, the question is, will he show up next week and answer Omos's challenge? So it's not the match I think any of us wanted for Mania, but I will say this. If you go back to Saudi Arabia, Omos versus Braun Strowman was a hell of a lot better than anyone expected. And honestly, if that match between Strowman and Omos was a WrestleMania match, people would say, you know what? That actually was a lot better. Like, you don't even have to base it on Saudi Arabia standards. I think WrestleMania, that would have been an acceptable match. Acceptable. Look at the Undertaker's streak at Mania. I mean, if you really dissect it, there were some pretty caca matches that The Undertaker had. You know, the one that kind of broke my heart the most was Jimmy Snuka, because I was a huge fan of Jimmy Snuka growing up, and I still thought maybe he has some in the tank, and boy, was that a really shitty match. So Brock, he's still got years left. So this year, you know, hey, you know what? You could take it easy this year. So I don't want Omos versus Brock, but if I have to have it, all right, I'll give it a shot. The only thing is, though, is if Brock Lesnar versus Bobby Lashley only goes 5-6 minutes on average, how long is a match with Omos going to go? I mean, I don't think any of us picture that Omos is going to be able to go 5-6 minutes, even suspension and disbelief with Brock Lesnar. It feels like that the match would be really, really fast. But hey, they want Brock to go up against the big boy. Remember that with Keith Lee? Hey, big boy. By the way, you know, we don't talk, you know, AEW stuff really on Mondays. We save it for Wednesdays. But, you know, we had a feeling that Keith Lee was going to return this past week, and he did on Rampage. You know, I know he's limitless, but he was also Just for Menless. Like, why wouldn't you put hair dye? Why would you want to make yourself look like you're 60 years old? You know what I mean? Like, I was really baffled by the appearance. It was almost like, all right, I'll show up. Hey, you know, you got to do this. Ah, you know what? I'm tired today. I'll just show up at the arena. It was just, I don't know, I felt a little lazy. But another two behemoths that are going to be going at it. And I tell you, it is interesting because if you check social media tonight, nobody really labeled Omos and Brock Lesnar of like Battle of the Giants. But yet, when we got the tease of Otis versus Bronson Reed, everybody's like, oh, I want to see these two big boys. Wow, two behemoths going at it. And, you know, again, I'm not sure if this match is going to happen at WrestleMania. I mean, 6 weeks away is not that long. Makes us think that there is a bigger storyline going on right now. And unfortunately, that could be the split between Chad Gable and Otis. The additional seeds were planted tonight. Chad Gable had a match against Bronson Reed. Otis was at ringside, and every time Reed and Otis got close to each other, the crowd, you know, got a little buzz. Hey, they want to see these two big men, you know, go at it. And next thing you know, Maxxine Dupri is at ringside. Otis gets distracted. For some reason, Otis must have lost his business card from last week, because Maxxine is showing him the card, and he's looking at it like, you know, wow, I never seen this before. And Chad Gable gets distracted. He's like, hey, Otis, what are you doing? What are you doing? Bronson Reed is like, heh, instant opportunity to capitalize, and he attacks Gable from behind, gives him the splash, 1-2-3, and Otis not paying attention to the match. But you know what? Good week for Bronson Reed. Last week we talked about the crickets in the crowd. We talked about, you know, that lack of connection. You know, when we did predictions last week for Elimination Chamber, we knew what Bronson Reed and Raquel Rodriguez's roles were going to be in the chamber. And job well done. Bronson Reed definitely gained a little bit more attention from the fans for his performance at the chamber. And he's a likable guy. I mean, yeah, his character, you know, goes against the grain a little bit. But he is a likable guy, and you want to root for him. And, you know, I hope that he could turn it around. And you know what? A feud with Otis could do it. So we will see what happens. So Brock Lesnar versus Omos. I don't know, man. I don't know. Now, tonight we're going to talk a little bit more about Raw. We got a bunch of ratings to get into, some interesting high and lows from last week. SmackDown and Rampage's ratings are delayed one day because it is a holiday here in the United States, President's Day. I don't know, in the background, you might see a little different logo on my little digital thing, and that's to, I guess, represent President's Day. But we do have some others that we got to get into. And a lot of people were very interested to see what Dynamite's quarter hours were going to be, especially since it scored not only such a low number, but, you know, the women main evented that night. Or I should say they closed out Dynamite. I think that might be a little bit unfair. Also, we are going to talk tonight about Kenny Omega and all those rumors floating around. Now, you know me, on these shows, I don't like to give legs to a rumor that is pretty much unfounded. It's someone just trying to get attention to their website or podcast. But I will say this, the buzz that WWE is interested in Kenny Omega is true. And yes, on the surface, almost all of you would agree with me when I say, why wouldn't WWE be interested? Like, why would they not be interested in him? You know, so we are going to talk about that in a little bit, and I'll give you my honest opinion about Kenny Omega and if it would work in WWE. I'll give you a little advanced spoiler. I think back to AJ Styles. AJ Styles, when he first came in, thinking about TNA, it just, he wasn't very good on the mic. You know, AJ Styles obviously is one of the greatest performers of our generation as well, but it didn't feel like it was a good click. It felt like a clash, that he really wasn't a sports entertainer. And AJ Styles has shown not only how great he's become on the mic and how confident and the presence, but AJ Styles adapted to the WWE style. And listen, I don't blame people out there to praise Kenny Omega's 5-star matches if that floats your boat. But, you know, the AJ Styles from New Japan, the AJ Styles from Impact Wrestling is not necessarily the AJ Styles we have in WWE. And you know what? That's why AJ Styles is still wrestling. So I will talk about that a little bit more later on. But let's get back to Raw. We have a tag team title match next week. And no, it's not the Usos. It is going to be Damage Control. They are going to be defending the tag team titles against a team that you probably didn't expect to face them. This is going to have WrestleMania implications. And a lot of you out there do think a 6-woman tag match could happen at WrestleMania. And I agree with those people, and I will tell you what I think. First of all, here's what was hyped for tonight's Raw. They hyped that Bayley was going to do a special ding-dong hello segment with Damage Control as her special guests. We were going to have Seth Rollins take on The Miz. Not only is Seth Rollins angry at Logan Paul, but The Miz is the one who brought Logan Paul into WWE. That's the story. So since Logan Paul was not at Raw tonight, and Seth couldn't get his hands on him, he was going to make The Miz suffer. So that match was hyped for tonight. Sami Zayn was advertised to appear late-breaking. I mean, they didn't advertise it during the day. But then again, since they were still in Canada, they were in Ottawa, you kind of feel like, of course, you're not going to, you know, let a WWE Canada show go without Sami Zayn being there. You know, yeah, they could have had him in a dark match, but not only did he appear, he actually had a match as well. And we were going to have Edge taking on Austin Theory for the United States title, as we said at the beginning of the show. And yes, it is now official. The road to the main event of WrestleMania begins for Cody Rhodes. But the opening segment tonight on Raw was Sami Zayn. Sami Zayn comes out, gets serenaded by the fans. Oh, and by the way, I'm going to show everyone some screenshots of some of the movie parodies that WWE is now releasing. For everybody who was live yesterday, you got a little sneak preview, and now WWE has obviously released it for everyone. But, you know, there's apparently a couple of more movie trailers that may actually be released that they have not done so already. And there's obviously some notable names absent in these trailers, but we'll share some screenshots in a little bit. But, you know, Raw opens up tonight with Sami Zayn. And Sami Zayn getting a beautiful response from the crowd. They're serenading him. And Sami Zayn expresses his gratitude for the fans, says thank you. You can't imagine how much this means to him, what has been going on. And he wishes that he could have put a bow on this storybook ending in front of his friends and family in Canada. And he feels he let a lot of people down. But then a little bit of hope. Don't think of this when you think of Cody Rhodes, because remember, Cody's finishing the story, and he will finish the story at Mania. But Sami Zayn in his promo says, you know, he realized that in WWE, a story is never truly over. So, but the new chapter, the final chapter going into WrestleMania begins. And I thought he was going to call out Cody Rhodes. Maybe give a message to Cody Rhodes to beat the shit out of Roman. And remember, Cody, I think, little inspiration to Sammy. Look, you know, this didn't work out the way you planned. It would have been an honor to face you at WrestleMania, but, you know, that doesn't mean that you can't pave out, you know, a path. Or so anyway, he calls out Kevin Owens. And when Kevin Owens is out there, you know, keep in mind we are still 6 weeks away from WrestleMania. We're still 40 days away, slightly less than 6 weeks. So he's got plenty of time, plenty of time. That's why Jey Uso didn't break Sammy in all hearts at Elimination Chamber. That's why tonight, and not even this weekend, we did not have Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens hug and form that alliance again. Now, some of you that I was chatting with while I was preparing for the show tonight, we're a little confused about something, and I know this is going to sound kind of trivial, but you got to think about this when we talk about it. You know, when Kevin Owens came out, Sammy said thank you and said, I'm sorry. You know, he thanked him for Saturday, but he apologized for everything that has gone on. And Kevin Owens is pissed off. You know, Kevin Owens, you know, he has been fighting the bloodline all by himself for months. And, you know, Sammy tells Kevin Owens that he wants to finish the bloodline and he wants Kevin Owens to do it with him. And right then and there, some of you, and I saw it on Twitter as well, were like, wait a minute, you know, Sami saying he wants to finish the bloodline. I wonder how, you know, Jey Uso feels about that. Remember, in Sami's eyes, Jey Uso is not a member of the bloodline anymore because Jey Uso said, I'm out. You know, so when Sami talks about finishing the bloodline, he's talking about Solo Sikoa, Paul Heyman, Jimmy Uso, and obviously Roman Reigns. So when he asks Kevin Owens to join up with him and they're in the ring going, you know, just talking back and forth, and Kevin Owens is very, very angry because Sami Zayn just stood there and watched while Kevin Owens, you know, was basically fighting, you know, the bloodline by himself. And basically what Kevin Owens does is Kevin Owens looks at Sami Zayn. He's like, if you want help to take down the bloodline, why don't you go ask your buddy, Jey Uso? And he drops the mic and he walks out. And Sami Zayn looks very, very guilty, you know, dejected, disappointed. The crowd is booing Kevin Owens. We know that they're going to be joining up. See, you can't bring up the tag titles yet because Jey Uso holds one of those titles. So something has to give with Jey Uso and Sami Zayn, and that is where Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn will align, and they will go after the Usos for the tag titles. Just keep in mind, we only have six SmackDowns left. No, five SmackDowns. No, six, yes. No, five. Yeah, it's got to be five. Because five would be... No. Why did they say 40 days? Why does that sound wrong? Why does that sound wrong? Well, no. Actually, six. Yeah, there is six. So this Friday, next Friday, and as we said yesterday, you know, after 2 weeks, that switch, that turn by Jey Uso has to happen because you need at least 2-3 weeks to not only issue the challenge to the Usos for the tag titles and make the match official. You know WWE is going to do a contract signing. You know there's going to be some beatdowns. There's going to be some, you know, swerves. You know, Solo Sikoa has been noticeably absent, you know, for the last bunch of days. And that might be by design because the rumored match at Mania is Solo Sikoa versus Matt Riddle. So Matt Riddle, when he returns, he obviously has to get a little revenge on Solo Sikoa. So as of right now, everybody's disappointed at Kevin Owens for walking away and not accepting Sami Zayn's alliance offer tonight. But that'll happen. That'll happen. Roderick is asking, how does Jay respond to Sammy's spear? Well, I mean, since Triple H uses more common sense these days with storylines, you know, Jay, it would be stupid. It would be more Vince McMahon-like if Jey Uso says, why, you know, you speared me at the chamber, you know? Of course, by now, Jey Uso knows it was an accident. So Sammy will say, you know, how you doing? I'm sorry, what happened, this and that, blah, 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 blah. But, you know, I think Jey will start getting a little bit angry, you know, at, you know, Sami Zayn incensed on taking down the bloodline, especially his brother. I don't think Jey Uso cares about Roman Reigns in this storyline as much as you think, because remember what happened at the chamber with Roman pie-facing Jey Uso and Jey Uso getting pissed off. I think Jey is going to care more about his brother. And I think that's where this split's going to happen. I don't think it's about Roman Reigns anymore for Jey Uso. I think it's about his brother. And I think Sammy is going to go after his brother, and Jay's going to have to make a decision. Do I defend my brother, or do I defend my brother from another mother? And he obviously will align with Jimmy, and that's where this will progress. Funny segment tonight. Now, obviously, Rhea Ripley will be on SmackDown. That's been hyped up for a week. She was interviewed with Byron Saxton earlier, and Dominic Mysterio is there, and Dom more shots about his dad, and Dom getting mad at Byron for asking some pretty stupid questions. But in the end, you know, and let me also point out, when Rhea Ripley made the comment saying that Beth Phoenix herself even said I was the real deal, that was a tweet that Beth Phoenix wrote right after Elimination Chamber. But during this segment tonight, Rhea Ripley basically says, if Charlotte wants to put me in my place at WrestleMania, then good, because my place is standing at the top of her crumbled queendom. And I'm going to walk out of WrestleMania as the women's champion. And she will be there on Friday. I think Dominic will be right by her side. We'll see if Charlotte Flair ends up beating up on Dominic. And hey, we may see something with Rey. Remember, isn't Rey taking on Karrion Kross Friday? And I feel like Rey's going to probably either get the win clean, or he's going to win by DQ and Dom will show up and maybe go at his father a little bit. Because, look, they have to obviously set up the match. It's happening. Rey versus Dom at WrestleMania. And remember also, You know, Ray still does not want to put his hands on his son. Despite the holiday stuff, despite the restaurant, despite, you know, the disrespect to Mom Angie, you know, Ray still does not want to put his hands on his son. So Ray's probably going to have to get an ass kicking. And Dom's going to have to either tie him up in the ropes or just keep pounding on him, where Ray just loses it. And Ray, you know, is going to destroy him at WrestleMania. And that's where Dom is going to ship bricks. He is going to ship bricks when that goes down. So, but that was a fun segment tonight. Another fun segment tonight was Baron Corbin. You know, 2 weeks in a row, you know, despite the disappointment with him aligning with JBL, you know, 2 weeks in a row, we have Baron Corbin, little bit of an attitude. You could feel like he's ad-libbing a little bit more in his promos, and that makes Baron Corbin sound not manufactured. And I think that's probably one of Baron Corbin's biggest weaknesses as far as being on the mic. Sounds very manufactured. Sounds like he is verbally out loud trying to remind himself bullet points he's supposed to say. But he's out there and he attacks Sami Zayn when Sami is leaving the rampway, hits the ring, talks about Roman Reigns embarrassing him in front of his family. And he talks about, you know, Sami Zayn putting down him, putting down Kenny, putting down Zayn. And Adam Pearce is on the rampway and Corbin is laying smack so hard on Canada and Sami Zayn. Adam Pearce is like, go ahead. You want to beat the shit out of Corbin? Go right ahead. And Sami Zayn charges the ring. We get a match. And Sami Zayn beats Baron Corbin with a huluva kick. And it was a fun match. It was a much better match. And I tell you, I'm not a fan of Baron Corbin. You know, nothing personal against the guy, but I'm not a fan. But I got to tell you, the last 2 weeks, it feels a little different with Baron Corbin, even though he lost. And even though he got his ass kicked. Is something a little bit different right now. I wonder, you know, and listen, at the end of the day, we're all human beings. And I wonder when WWE broke the news to him. Now, you know, despite what other websites are telling you, JBL's deal being alongside Corbin was very, very short term. I don't know if it was short term as in before WrestleMania happens, but it was short term. He was not going into the summer being the, you know, manager of Corbin. But if this was pulled earlier because it wasn't working out, I wonder if that sent a message mentally to Corbin that, hey, something ain't working. And if I don't fucking fix this, I might be the next one released. Because you look at the last couple of years, and I hate being one of those that, you know, says, oh, this person should be released, this person should be released. I don't like doing that. But I think a lot of people have said across these 150-plus releases the last couple of years, there's been a lot of people that were like, how does this guy escape it? Like, how does this person get released and not him? So I think sooner or later, you know, he's got an ego about himself, and he believes in himself, but even him has got to come to a point where he starts thinking to himself, yeah, maybe something isn't, you know, kosher, and I better fucking fix it or I might be out of a job. So we'll see. Ray says that he could see him wearing an IB Corp, a Roman shirt. I don't like that idea right now because I don't think they want us to be reminded about Roman Reigns losing, even though it's been a couple of years ago, you know, and with Corbin being a heel and Roman Reigns being a monster heel, I don't think you make any shirt that shows weakness about Roman Reigns. Maybe after Roman Reigns loses at Mania, maybe you do something like that. But I think right now, I don't think that should be a shirt. It's not a bad shirt. Just the timing right now into Mania, I wouldn't do it. You don't want to remind any weaknesses about Roman. And speaking of Roman, tonight, Cody Rhodes' road to the main event of WrestleMania begins. Cody Rhodes comes out there tonight to cut a promo. And, you know, this went back and forth, and it was mostly Paul Heyman on the mic. And this went back and forth with Heyman mostly talking for about a good 5 minutes. And Heyman shown in a neck brace, which is funny. And he's got both titles, which is funny. And you know what? Talk about detail. Talk about detail. I love this. I love this. You know what I loved about this picture? I love that Paul Heyman is not shaven in 2 days. Because storyline, if you're in a neck brace, the last thing that you're probably thinking about doing is shaving. I know that sounds a little trivial, but that's how detailed this guy is. This guy is so like nitpicky about every little intricate details. You know, even like when we point out his facial reactions and things that he does that none of us ever even pay attention to. Like, there is a method to his madness. And when there's a segment, whether it's a promo or something in the ring or something in the back, he is thinking about every little detail that you would never, ever even think about. But, you know, he's talking to Cody Rhodes, throwing him smack. And he's basically, you know, telling him, like, you're not going to win at WrestleMania. You know, but even if you thought, even if you did, you know, you don't have Paul Heyman. You know, what was that word that Paul Heyman used? Kodiak? Kodiak. No, it was Kodiak. I guess was supposed to mean a maniac. I don't know if it's something Canadian, but he talked about his injury from the chamber, and that was the stunner from Kevin Owens. But, you know, he's doing the typical smack that Paul Heyman would do, that Cody Rhodes, you know, your dream is going to turn into a personal nightmare, play on words. But probably everybody will remember this segment for one thing. Towards the end of the segment, Paul Heyman says to Cody Rhodes, you know, you're probably thinking that I'm going to say, like, after WrestleMania, you know, like, Roman will, you know, console your wife and take care of this and that. And, you know, no, I would never say that. Roman Reigns is a happily married man, but I'm not. And I'm like, oh, the idea of Paul Heyman, you know, consoling Brandi Rhodes for Cody's defeat. Man, just for the manlihood of Cody Rhodes, that was a kick in the nuts. That was a massive kick in the nuts. I popped for that because, you know, we've had a lot of promos like, hey, you know, like, I'm going to show your wife who a real man is, or, you know, did that. So when Paul tonight says, you know, I'm not going to go there about your wife, you know, that Roman's going to do this. And then he's like, because Roman's a happily married man, but I'm not. And I'm like, oh, that was awesome. And Cody Rhodes with the constipated look on his face. That's what Tony Khan looked like when he saw Ariel Helwani the other day. Cody Rhodes pissed the fuck off. Roman, stop bringing Paul Heyman around. I'm going to say to you now what I'm going to say to your face when we meet up. He's taking the titles at WrestleMania. He was pissed the fuck off tonight. Pissed off. And you know what? Crowd fully behind Cody Rhodes. Didn't even need the segment. And you know what? In hindsight, it was probably a wise thing to not have Cody and Sammy in the same ring together tonight. Maybe we got something afterwards, but, you know, Sammy had already wrestled a match, so he wasn't going to go again. But, you know, I guess there was that unknown, since they were still in Canada, that if you do an on-air segment with Cody and Sammy, you know, you might force the crowd's hand, and if they're going to take a side, they're probably going to take Sammy's side. And how does that look when the crowd, you know, a good portion of it starts chanting, you deserve it for Sammy, and Cody standing right there. So in hindsight, good move on WWE's part for not having them to interact on camera. Next week, I expect a little bit of interaction. If Sami Zayn is on Raw. And who knows? Maybe Cody Rhodes is on SmackDown Friday. Why not? You know, Cody, they could do something simple like Roman. If you're not going to show up here on Raw, then I'm going to show up on SmackDown. So they could do that as well. So, all right. Some other matches that went down tonight. Mustafa Ali over Dolph Ziggler. Only 2-minute match, really didn't do much. I mean, it was advertised beforehand, but it really was not much of a match. We had Asuka beating Nikki Cross in a match that went a lot longer than I expected. Bianca Belair was at ringside, but she was not on commentary. And after the match is over, Bianca enters the ring. They both look at the WrestleMania sign. And for some reason, Bianca Belair is still creeped the fuck out when Asuka dribbles blue. You know, she dribbled the blue mist again tonight. And, you know, Bianca with the look on her face like, you know, like by now you would be like, you know, hey, at least I didn't get it thrown in my face, blown into my eyes. But look, the crowd tonight, strongly behind Asuka, but they were also strongly behind Bianca Belair. That crowd is going to be very, very divided at WrestleMania. And obviously all parties are aware of it. WWE is aware of it. But this is the match that needed to happen. And it is going to happen, which is a good thing. Now, I got to show you something. We didn't even talk about the women's tag titles. We got a little off track. Let's talk about the women's tag titles. And then we'll talk about The Miz. Because I have a video clip that I don't know if you saw with The Miz. When I put in the synopsis tonight that The Miz is balling, he legitimately is. Wait till you see it. I promise you, even if you don't like The Miz, this is impressive. And it's, trust me, I know a lot of people were impressed with the Kenny Omega Young Bucks throwing the basketball. Trust me, wait till you see it. Wait till you see it. So anyway, Bayley has a Ding Dong Hello segment tonight, and she is featuring her tag team, Dakota Kai and Io Sky, and they're in the ring. And Bayley asks Dakota Kai, how does it feel to be the greatest women's tag team champions of all time? And Dakota Kai talks about it. He just passed 100 days. She runs down everybody who they have beaten, including the name Becky Lynch. Becky Lynch's music hits. Becky comes out, and she's talking about how the tag titles are starting to get a little dusty, that you're not going to, you know, cruise your way into WrestleMania. You know what? I'm looking at those women's tag titles, and I think I want those tag titles. And Bayley's like, who's going to tag with you? You don't have any friends. Lo and behold, yeah, probably a week or two late, you know. But then again, Dakota Kai, legitimate injury, which is almost healed, but Becky brings out Lita. Now, I'll go there with a Canadian Hall of Famer in a moment, because I know that's going to be the first word out of a lot of your mouths. Lita comes out, and Becky is with Lita inside the ring. And, you know, Becky is throwing out some stats about Lita, and she is a Hall of Famer, one of the greatest of all time. And Lita showing the love right back, and Lita says that, you know what, she wants a fifth title reign. So Lita lays down the challenge of Becky Lynch and Lita versus Dakota Kai and Io Sky for the Women's Tag Team Championships. Now, a lot of you out there thought it was going to be for WrestleMania, but they immediately started, you know, changing the wording to insinuate that this would be like much sooner than later. So Dakota Kai and Io Sky, they're like reluctant about it. And Becky Lynch is like, you know, what are you all chicken? What are you scared? So, you know, soon as she said, what are you scared? Bayley's like, they accept. And then we find out that the match is actually going to happen next week. Next week, not WrestleMania, next week. And you say to yourself, why are they doing it so quickly? So, and we'll get to that in a moment. So Becky and Lita steal the tag titles for a second. They lift them up. And, you know, Kai and Sky are just standing there. Bayley's just standing there looking like potted plants while they hold the championships in the air. And we're going to get the match next week. Now, a lot of you have said for the last couple of weeks, why isn't Trish Stratus part of this? And I think the fact that this match did not happen at Chamber, And you want to know something? I was thinking about this the other day. I wonder if that match was supposed to go down at the Chamber, and maybe Dakota Kai was not yet 100%. So they improvised and they were able to do something with Bobby Lashley and Brock Lesnar. You know, I mean, obviously they need enough time to, with Brock especially, to train and get in shape. But Brock seems like he's always in shape now. So I wonder if that match was supposed to happen at the Chamber and didn't. Because now I think that may also be the reason why they did the three-way match the week before. Remember Bayley versus Bianca versus Becky? If Becky or Bayley win, they're in the Chamber match. We knew that that wasn't going to happen, but it almost feels like that they may had to have improvised over the last 2-3 weeks. But, you know, I think the fact that they weren't going to have it at the Chamber, there was no need to have a Canadian Hall of Famer in Trish Stratus to be part of this. Plus, I think Trish Stratus, you know, she has not wrestled in quite some time. And yes, Lita has not wrestled in quite some time either. But it could be a simple case that Trish Stratus is not in ring shape yet to have a match. Now, please do not misconstrue what I'm saying. You look at Trish, she's gorgeous. She's in shape. She is but, you know, as far as cardio and doing something in the ring, especially, you know, a big spectacle in front of 50,000 fans. This is not an indie show with 500 fans. You could kind of like gaga it and everybody's happy. If Trish is going to return to the ring, it's got to be top notch or nothing. I think Lita was in a much better situation that she can do it. And I think the reason why they're doing this tag title match so soon is because Bayley will probably get involved. Bayley has no match at Mania. Becky has no match at Mania. Sky and Kai have no match at Mania. And as we said the last 2 weeks, yes, I saw, you know, the website that was reporting it's going to be Ronda Rousey and Shayna versus Sky and Kai, which, you know, is not happening. I wonder with Bayley's interference if this leads to Trish Stratus returning. And at WrestleMania, we get a 6-woman tag team match. Bianca versus Trish versus Lita. No, excuse me, Becky versus Trish versus Lita against, let me say it again. Wake up, DT. Trish, Lita, and Becky Lynch versus Damage Control. Bayley, Dakota Kai, Neo Sky. 6-woman tag. I could see that at Mania. You put a couple of Hall of Famers, a couple of legends, you know, 6 weeks away, gives plenty of time to train. And listen, I know on the surface, some of you may not like that match. Let me tell you something. Even though Becky and Bayley have been on the main roster for a long time now, and Sky and Kai have been around a little bit, you know, not as long, you know, especially on the main roster, but to have an opportunity to be involved with two of your role models, two of your heroes, two Hall of Famers. You know, think back to Austin versus Kevin Owens a year ago. You know, the idea that Becky Lynch gets to team up with Trish and Lita, you know, any of us, in anything that we do, if we had the opportunity, you know, for one night to, you know, be involved with someone or two people that we always looked up to or always, you know, that is a dream. That is a fantasy come true for everybody involved in that match. It's an honor. So believe me, Bayley, Sky, Kai, and Becky Lynch, you know, being told that they're going to be involved in a match that also involves Lita and Trish Stratus, no championships on the line, I don't think any of them would complain. I don't think any of us should complain either. But I think that is the reason. I think, you know, the last time around, Lita came to the aid of Becky, who was in the cage match with Bayley. This time around, you would have 3-on-2, technically, because Bayley will be outside the ring. So now someone else has to come in to help neutralize Bayley, and it'll probably be Trish Stratus. I think that's the way they're going to go with this. So that's why I think this is going down, because a lot of you out there said, why not just do the tag title match at WrestleMania? First of all, I think it's too predictable. I don't see Lita. Listen, remember when Lita had a last match? Remember? And we all said, most of us said, like, wow, this sucks. She could still go. And, you know, feels like she got the Saudi Arabia payday and that was it. And on social media, she's like, I hope, you know, there's more. And there wasn't. After Saudi Arabia was back home, you know, we don't need you for anything else. And that kind of sucked because, you know, none of us and Lita and Trish are not getting any younger. So each month that goes by, you know, that's the clock ticking. So, yeah, I'm fine with that match at Mania if it's a six-woman tag. All right. As we said earlier, Bronson Reed over Chad Gable. Elias comes out, and he wants to know who wants to walk with Elias at WrestleMania. Bobby Lashley shows up. And first thing I'm thinking is, no, we're not getting Bobby Lashley. First of all, I don't want to see Bray Wyatt versus Bobby Lashley at Mania. I certainly don't want to see Elias versus Bobby Lashley at Mania. But Bobby comes out not to answer Elias's challenge, but basically just beat the shit out of him. Lays him out, gets on the mic, and says no one could break out of the Hurt Lock. He is pissed off for what happened at the Chamber, and he's sending a message to everybody in the locker room, no one will disrespect him. So we'll see where this goes. Candice LeRae, earlier, she was in the back being interviewed, and she was asked, how's Johnny Gargano doing after the Chamber? And she sees Nikki Cross. So she immediately runs to Nikki Cross. You know, don't worry about my husband. She runs to Nikki Cross. Why do you keep following me? Why do you keep following me? Nikki Cross whispers something in Candice LeRae's ear. Candice LeRae looks shocked. And I'm thinking to myself for the split second, what could she have possibly said? And I know what some of you are thinking. Yes, I thought that too. But Byron Saxton asks her, what did Nikki Cross say to you? And Candice LeRae says that Nikki Cross said to her, and this is why she's been creeping her for all of these months, that all her friends are gone. She has no friends, and all her friends are gone, and she's lonely. So that's the whole thing. Now, I still think it's a setup, because Sanity is going to return, and I think Sanity is going to go up against Dexter Lumis and Johnny Gargano. Nikki Cross will ultimately go up against Candice LeRae. But, you know, kind of like a pretty lame, you know, twist to this storyline. Oh, I'm just, I have no friends. You know, it's, I don't know. I thought it was kind of goofy, but next week, Candice LeRae takes on Piper Nevin. Also next week, we have, you know, they announced three women's matches, you know, and I'm not saying it's a shot to AEW, but again, you know, when people out there want to talk about Raw 30 and look at the way the women were treated, this and that, I mean, you look at the overall picture. I mean, you know, the women have been utilized very, very strong in WWE for years now. You know, people don't want to admit to that. You know, it's never going to be 50-50, and it shouldn't be 50-50. In any form of entertainment, you got to know who your audience is. You don't do it because it's the right thing to do or because it should be done this way. No. You know, you have a product that is targeted for mostly women. You're not going to turn around and force the issue and try to put things on there that tries to attract more men. Because you know what will happen? A lot of those women will be like, I'm out of here. And then if the men don't come, you have a less rating than you did before. You know, that's where demos come into play. But next week, we're going to have Candice LeRae against Piper Nevin. We're going to have Carmella taking on Asuka, and Lita and Becky Lynch versus Damage Control. Plus, will Brock Lesnar show up and accept Omos's challenge? And next week, Miz TV goes Hollywood. Miz TV, the Hollywood edition. Now, there's something that happened tonight. Maryse gave Miz an envelope, not allowed to open it until next week on TV. Everyone is speculating, what will that be? Now, I thought for a twist, Maybe it's something like divorce papers or something like that. But then I'm like, nah, it's got to be related to WrestleMania. It's got to be like an honorary something or some type of an award or something, you know, and then someone obviously is going to ruin it for Miz. I don't see, you know, horror. I don't see this as a negative, especially when you got Miz and Mrs. And, you know, they actually work great together as a cohesive unit. So I don't see this being anything where Marty screws Miz in any way. But remember I said earlier, I got a little video clip for all of you. Over the weekend, we had the NBA celebrity basketball game. I think it was sponsored by Ruffles, and the Miz was in the game. Now, honestly, I've watched this replay a few times, and I don't know why this wasn't counted. I'm going to play it for you twice so you can see it closely and you tell me if it should have counted or not. But I will give you a little teaser first. This was the reaction to The Miz after this incident went down. All right, just look at them going nuts for The Miz. That's Fat Joe, by the way. And they're hugging The Miz. Did Miz shoot the game-winning bucket? No. No. His shot didn't count. But check out The Miz. Okay? The Miz is wearing blue. The Miz is at half court. My friends, this is actually The Miz. When everybody this week was like, oh my God, if Kenny Omega goes to WWE, they're going to make The Miz kick out of the one-winged angel. Now they're comparing basketball between Kenny Omega and The Miz. Look at what The Miz did this weekend. Watch this. Watch this. All right, throw it. Here's The Miz. Watch. Motherfucker hit the half-court shot. Now, listen to it closely. Listen to it closely. I could swear he threw the ball before the buzzer rang. Listen to it closely. Watch this again. Let me pull it up. Watch this again. Wait.
Front of company.
There you go. He threw it up and then the buzzer hit. Now, I haven't followed basketball like I used to, but to me, that basket should have counted. But they said it didn't count. But still, you know, anyway, celebrity basketball, does any of it count anyway? Doesn't. But very impressive. A little surprised that they didn't mention it tonight on Raw. I mean, that'd be a pretty cool thing to show. I mean, especially, well, then again, Miz didn't have a Miz TV segment. They got to show it next week, you would think. Maybe they don't show it because only MVP could be balling. I don't know. Charlie, I brought up Otis and Maxine earlier, so you're going to have to rewind it. I know you've written that like 10 times, but we talked about it earlier. So, all right. Edge, towards the end of the night, he brings up that his second ever WWE match was in 1997 in Ottawa. He hasn't wrestled in that building in over 18 years, and he hasn't had a... Chris, I said they should show the bucket, not just say it, show the bucket. The Miz, they should show it. They should do it in slow motion. They should do it in super, super slow motion. Troll the fans. So even though it's an impressive thing for the live crowd, you show multiple times. This way it pisses off the fans. So anyway, Edge is in the ring. Edge is in the back. And he's talking about how his second ever WWE match was in Ottawa back in 1997. He hasn't wrestled in a building in over 18 years. He hasn't had a title in a long time, and he's running out of time. So it really does feel that 2023 still remains to be the last year of Edge. Tonight had a great match with Austin Theory in defeat, obviously. Towards the end of the match, Edge locked in the crossface, but Theory got to the ropes. And then we get interference from Finn Balor. Finn distracts him. You know, we think, okay, here's where Austin Theory hits A-Town and it's over. Not necessarily yet, you know, a couple of two counts. But in the end, Austin Theory hits A-Town. Edge is defeated. Finn Balor with multiple coup de grace and leaving Edge laying. This is leading to a WrestleMania match, as we said earlier. It certainly feels like there may be some strong stipulation, because this, a lot of you out there are with me. Edge and Finn Balor have been killing it. You look at those matches, they work great together. It's just this storyline keeps going like this. You know, like it's looks like a worm. You know, like you, it just keeps hitting these hills. Like just when you think it's over, it kicks up again and it's over. So, you know, you almost feel like Edge has got to say, look, this has got to stop. You know, and I just hope it's not a retirement match, because I'm not ready yet to write Edge off, even on a part-time basis. I'm not ready yet. The guy is too good in the ring, you know. But then again, you know, we had this conversation during the recap over the weekend. You know, he had those 9 years of emotionally thinking, I'm never going to do what I love to do ever again. Now he has a beautiful wife, beautiful family, did a lot of things outside of wrestling, but wrestling is his love. And he had the opportunity to return and return on a high level. You know, it's not like somebody returns and just does a one-off and then they're back to retirement again. Edge still works at a very, very high level. And a year, 2 years, 3 years from now, okay, maybe it's completely different. Maybe look at like The Undertaker. The Undertaker legitimately physically can't do it anymore. You look at Hogan, you look at others. You know, some of these Hall of Famers, not necessarily Taker, but others, they will always tease one last match when you know physically they can't. You know, very rare that you get like what you got with Ric Flair, which to me still was nuts. You know, it still is insane that that went down. And I think people are very, very lucky it didn't end worse. You know, but the point is, 9 times out of 10 or even 99 out of 100 times when a legend says, you know, I think I have one more match left in me, when you know that they don't, they don't. It's just emotionally, it's very hard. It's very hard to say, I can't do it anymore. You know, I mean, I always talked about me with, you know, softball, and I know that's a ridiculous comparison, but I fucking love to play softball. I loved it. I always thought I'd play it like as an elderly person in my 70s playing softball in these crazy leagues. When I had my car accident, after a year, and my friends say, you know, come play. And emotionally, I'm like, yeah, I could do it. And I couldn't hit the ball. I couldn't push off on my leg. I couldn't do nothing. And I went home and I cried. And this was not long ago. This was 1997. You know, I cried. Because I was like, I can't believe that I can't just hit the ball. You know, or the times I hit it, it would just go down into the ground. It's not fun to beloved something and then come to the realization you can't do it anymore. So you say to yourself, why is Edge going to pull back when he could still? And then he may want to do it again and it's too late, you know. But, hey, he got his fill. Let's see what happens with Mania. But remember, 2 weeks, we got Austin Theory probably confronting John Cena to lead to their Mania match, and on paper, the WrestleMania Saturday and Sunday. Because WWE likes to use WrestleMania Saturday, WrestleMania Sunday. They don't like to use night one, night two. So WrestleMania Saturday and Sunday look really, really solid. So now, if you haven't checked them out, WWE does have several of their movie trailers online. Yes, Miz, and here's another reason. You got Miz and Mrs. doing Top Gun, Miz and Maurice doing Top Gun. That is one of the movie parodies that they did. You know, a lot of you out there were asking me, like, what movie is this from with Rhea Ripley? It's a movie called Eleven. Stranger Things is the name. I think, isn't that a show, not a movie? I don't know, but I seen clips of it, but that is her playing Eleven in Stranger Things. Then the obvious, you got Montez Ford and Bianca Belair doing the rendition of Titanic. Here, yeah, there's a lot of these people on Twitter, obviously writing blogs, doing podcasts. The 40-year-old virgin Ridge Holland is playing a role of the 40-year-old virgin. I laughed my ass off watching that clip. Obviously, Becky Lynch playing Batman, and you had Seth Rollins playing the Joker. But you know me, I'm a little biased, everyone. My favorite, the Bloodline doing Goodfellas. Will I make you laugh? Do I amuse you? Because you can just picture Paul Heyman. Let's Miz and Maurice, we like you, but you can picture Paul Heyman. Oh, I can't wait to see that one. But yeah, this, and you know what? I was looking at the original Goodfellas movie when they were in the restaurant, Ray Liotta and Joe Pesci and everything, and they did a really good rendition of it. They actually, I mean, you know, obviously they couldn't use like labels on the bottles. They don't want to pay any sponsors. You know, they don't want to pay any royalties. The lamps are a little bit different, but it's beautiful. I mean, every single one of them is impressive. They did a really good job with these. I mean, there's nothing like the originals, obviously. And I'm very curious what you think about the movie selection, because for a majority of them, they really went back in time. I think we're a little surprised that they didn't use more of the movies of, you know, maybe the last 10 years. They really didn't go that route. But I thought they were all great, and I'm looking forward to seeing them all. So, all right. Main event matches from tonight, I know I got them. Main event matches were Cedric Alexander over Akira Tozawa, Meechan and Candice LeRae over Dana Brooke and Tamina. Those were your matches earlier today. Now, this week in wrestling history, all right, here is a couple of photo previews of it. And let me tell you something. I wrote this on Twitter and I meant it 100%. You know, it was 52 weeks in a year. And the first season I did of these, I did 52 of them. And I could honestly say week 8, because we're in the 8th week of 2023, this was one of the most fun weeks in wrestling history ever to cover. I mean, these are just a couple of the photos of what is covered in this one, you know, but it really was a memorable week in history. Let me pull it. Oh, yeah, here's the other one. There you go. Yeah, Ring of Honor officially began. Shane McMahon returns. And there is some doozies. If you want to get an idea of the synopsis, you know, you could pause this and you could take a look at it. But especially if you're a wrestling fan going back to the 90s, you know, there's a lot of you out there that are not into 80s wrestling or even 70s wrestling. But if you want an episode that really, like, a majority of it is on the 90s, this is the one to check out, because there are so many good things in this and a lot of audio clips as well. I love when people react to Randy Orton coming out to CM Punk's music. You know, and that was not, you know, to piss off fans or to troll them. No, Randy Orton actually came out to CM Punk's music one time on Raw. But that is the synopsis. It runs a little over 3.5 hours, and it's going to be released tomorrow. NXT, we have JC Jane. She's going to have technically her first match as a singles, officially a singles star. She's going to take on Indy Hartwell. The Dyad versus Chase University, Ivy Nile versus Alba Fire, Gallus versus Malik Blade and Idris Inofi. AEW Dynamite Wednesday, I don't know, man, I'm not feeling it that much. The Acclaimed versus Big Bill and Lee Moriarty. I mean, I think we all agree Lee Moriarty will be the one pinned there. Orange Cassidy versus Wheeler Yuta. I mean, I'm just, you know, I'm not into Wheeler Yuta with all due respect. Moxley versus Evil Uno was designed simply because Hangman Page is associated with the Dark Order. Saraya versus Sky Blue. Then you have the tag team battle royale to determine one of the spots in a match of Revolution for the tag titles. And you look at the lineup, with the exception of the Lucha Bros, none of the teams there I'm really interested in. I mean, it's just, it's amazing. But I will say this, this is necessary to have cards like this. AEW's biggest problem is they want to put cards on every week. Not necessarily pay-per-view, but stronger than your typical week's worth of wrestling. And when you do that over and over and over again, you start running out of, you know, what match could, you know, put people like, oh, I got to see it. You know, oh, if this was on pay-per-view, it would be awesome. You can't do that every week. You know, maybe you have one match a week that could be a pay-per-view match, but when you do this every week, that everything's got, after a while, you just run out. You just run out. And Tony Khan has a major announcement as well. As I said yesterday, I think it has to do with Ring of Honor doing tapings this coming weekend. They have to announce it on TV. They always mention Ring of Honor. You got to let your live TV audience know that you're doing TV tapings this weekend. Not everybody lives in Orlando, but you know, people watching might want to order Honor Club now because of it. So we'll see. Maybe the announcement is something totally different. Ratings. As I said earlier, SmackDown and Rampage are delayed. But I got some interesting stats for you all for some various shows, especially some quarter hours. Some you might be a little surprised at. First of all, SmackDown the week before did 2,468,000. They expect this week to go down about 100,000. So it's not that bad. The highest quarter hour for the week before's SmackDown was, check this out, the Usos versus Strowman and Ricochet for the tag titles. That's when Jey Uso made his return. They did, for that quarter, 2,721,000 viewers. That's crazy. For today's standards, even with the Sami Zayn storyline, you know, everybody talks about Sami Zayn's quarter hours are higher than Roman Reigns, which is a little unfair because Roman Reigns is not on TV that often. But let me tell you something, Jey Uso, the unsung MVP of this storyline as well. I think Jey Uso should be right up there. If you're going to talk about Sami and Roman, Jey deserves a lot more attention than people give. 2,721,000. Crazy. The low quarter from that show, the Charlotte Flair promo and the main event of Madcap Moss versus Rey Mysterio versus Karrion Kross versus Santos Escobar, that rating was 2,277,000. Almost 500,000 viewership difference for that main event. That's a big deal. That is a big deal. Rampage, that week before, did 375,000 viewers. The high quarter from that show was the high quarter was Orange Cassidy versus Lee Moriarty that did 393,000 viewers. That is a terrible number. But do you know what the lowest quarter hour was at 361,000? The Butcher, the Blade, and Kip Sabian versus the Blackpool Combat Club. Wheeler Yuta, John Moxley, Claudio Castagnoli. You know, they only did 361,000 viewers. You imagine those guys on any show, and they can't even pull 400,000 viewers. That's crazy. That is crazy. Impact Wrestling this past week, the 16th, did 92,000 viewers, down, actually slightly up from last week's 81,000. New Japan did 60,000 this past Thursday, up from the week before is 50,000. Dynamite this past Wednesday did 824,000, down from the week before is 899. The highest quarter hour. We don't count quarter hour one. We do not count quarter hour one because of that big lead in from the Big Bang Theory. Every week, quarter one is the highest. So we do not count that quarter. But the highest quarter from Dynamite was Roosh and Preston Vance versus John Moxley and Claudio. They did 901,000 viewers. What a difference a couple of days makes. Moxley and Claudio on Rampage can't even pull 400,000. On Dynamite, they did 901. The lowest quarter hour from this past Wednesday's Dynamite, yep, you guessed it, Ruby Soho versus Toni Storm versus Britt Baker. That final quarter hour only did 710,000 viewers. That is NXT territory. That just shows you how close NXT gets at times with AEW Dynamite. But listen, as we said last Wednesday, you look at that card, there was no other match that you could have closed it out with. You couldn't have closed it out with Moxley because promos had to happen later on. NXT this past Tuesday did 640,000 viewers, up from the week before, it's 562. The highest quarter hour was Grayson Waller versus Tyler Bate. They scored 692. The lowest quarter hour, Roxanne Perez and Mako Satomura versus Katana Chance and Kayden Carter. That only did 594,000 viewers. MLW, as we predicted, this past Thursday dropped. They dropped down to 73,000 viewers from their debut of 79,000. That is not good. And I don't ever bring up demos, but I did take notice. Some of the demos were down almost 50%. I mean, you would have thought week two had a shot of having a better number because not everybody is used to tuning into Reels on Thursday to check out, or Tuesday to check out MLW. And the rating went down. I'm telling you, in no time, they'll have a couple of increases, no doubt. In no time, you're going to see those ratings lower than New Japan. Hate to say it, but, you know, it's just, it is what it is. Raw last week did 1,812,000 viewers, slightly down from the week before is 1,866. The high quarter hour from last Monday's Raw, Cody Rhodes and Sami Zayn, their promo exchange, they did 2,080,000 viewers. Just so you know, that quarter hour was 300,000 viewers higher than the quarter before. That goes to show you that people online, the buzz came around that Cody and Sami are in the ring, and people tuned in. You had 300,000 viewers jump when they hit the ring and had their promo exchange. That's a big deal. That doesn't happen often. The lowest quarter hour, not a good week for women's wrestling. Becky Lynch versus Bayley versus Bianca Belair only did 1,592,000. By the final quarter of 3 hours of Raw, it's usually low because people are just tired and not everybody sticks around for the main event. But even with the women, even with that stipulation, even with the top talented women on that roster, they couldn't break 1,600,000 viewers. You look at that compared to SmackDown. SmackDown had over 1,100,000 viewers more than that quarter hour. That's a big deal. So those are your quarter hours and your ratings that are available. Now, before we get out of here, let's talk briefly about Kenny Omega. As I said on these shows, you know, I usually don't discuss rumors because most of the times it's just websites trying to throw a discussion out there to get people to click. You know, you hear rumored matches. Oh, this is a rumored match. They're rumored to do this, they're rumored to do that. And, you know, most of the time it ends up leading to nowhere. This, though, has some legs to it. And the reason why it has legs to it, and this is a really tricky discussion to have, and I'll tell you why. I'm sure you have heard tons of other people give their opinions on Kenny Omega, if it would be a good fit to go to WWE. And I'm telling you right now, yes, I think Kenny Omega going to WWE would be a great fit, and I'll tell you why in a moment. But I will say this, something that a lot of people don't think about, and I've brought this up many times over the last 3.5 years, is a lot of these people that work behind the scenes for AEW have two contracts. Okay, they have a talent, contract is an on-air talent, and they also have a contract that they get paid for being an executive, working in the office, doing this, production, whatever it is. Now, you know, again, when Tony Khan criticizes contracts, you got to understand it's moments like this where these contracts are very, very important. Kenny Omega was out of action for more than 6 months because of injury. And we don't know if AEW adds time on when someone's out of action, like WWE. The most infamous one recently was Rey Mysterio. Rey Mysterio was injured a couple of years ago. And his contract was coming up, and WWE added the time to it for the time that he was out of action. So with Kenny Omega, here's where it gets really, really interesting and also difficult to try to understand. If Kenny Omega has two contracts, think about this for a minute. Kenny Omega signs a deal with AEW numerous years ago. And he signs a deal to not only wrestle, but also be an EVP. Okay? Now, you would think that if he signs, let's say, a four-year deal, okay, or a three-year deal, you would think that they're not going to give him a three-year deal as a wrestler and a two-year deal working in the office. Or they're not going to give you a three-year deal working in the office and only a two-year deal as a wrestler. You would think that chances are common sense. If he inks a four-year deal, it's 4 years working in the office, 4 years working as a wrestler. And reason being that, you know, if he doesn't sign a new contract, you know, how do you handle, you know, if he's working in the office, but he's no longer a contracted wrestler? You're obviously not going to allow him to go work for the competition, but yet he still works in your office. Nobody would do that. People would be nuts to do that. When Cody Rhodes left AEW, this is something that I would love, and it might be a little too personal, I get it, but I wish someone who interviews Cody Rhodes would ask him this, because it would technically give us the answer about Kenny Omega. Cody, when you worked for AEW and you worked in the office and you were also a wrestler, did you have two contracts or only one? I'm pretty certain it was two contracts. But the point is that when his deal was up with AEW, it wasn't one or the other. He was done completely across the board. And the reason why I'm bringing this up is very important. Let's say hypothetically, Kenny Omega's contract with AEW is up January 1st. This past January 1st. What happens if Tony Khan adds 7 months to his contract as a wrestler because he was injured? Okay, look, you're out of action. We paid you. So we're adding those 7 months in. You have to stay with us till July. How do you handle the office, the EVP contract? If both deals were over January 1st, how do you handle the EVP portion of it? That's the thing that a lot of people don't know. I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. For all we know right now, Kenny Omega might just be a contracted wrestler. I hope that maybe they worked out a deal, like if he's going to stay till July, for example, that they gave him 7 more months of pay as an EVP. But then again, you know, what he got paid 4 years ago when he signed his deal, Kenny Omega's worth is probably a lot more. Listen, we all were excited for AEW in 2019. We all hoped that AEW would succeed. Did we ever, in our wildest dreams, think that AEW would be as big as it is right now? I don't think so. I don't think AEW, I thought it was going to follow the steps more of NWA TNA. You know, nice momentum, but, you know, taking baby steps. So if I'm Kenny Omega, I'm demanding more money now than I did 4 years ago. So right now we don't know what the contract situation is with Kenny Omega as far as an EVP goes. But I will say this. The reason why I think Kenny Omega would fit like a glove in WWE, and I brought this up in the past, and a lot of people don't pay attention to it, because they didn't like it very much. Do you remember this? Just look at the beard, and you remember the time period I'm talking about. When Kenny Omega was AEW champion and also Impact Wrestling champion, and he started growing the mutton chops, do you remember when he was coming out there wearing all these crazy clothes with Don Callis, with Gallows and Anderson, acting like a sports entertainer? He was full-blown sports entertainer for about 7 months. If you go back to that period and you look at highlights from each week, Kenny Omega was in full-blown sports entertainer mode at that time. Now, he was dealing with some injuries, and this goes back to what I said earlier. You look at AJ Styles. AJ Styles is the perfect template to use when you talk about people like Kenny Omega or the Young Bucks or anybody else that may not fit the quintessential WWE sports entertainer right now, and you wonder if it would work, AJ Styles adapted to the WWE style. AJ Styles, in a lot of ways, turned into a sports entertainer. AJ Styles doesn't have to do the five-star matches that he did in New Japan. As much as some of you out there don't like Meltzer, or you do like Meltzer, understand this. When Dave Meltzer doesn't give AJ Styles or some Finn Balor or some others in WWE many five-star matches or even four-and-a-half-star matches, it's not because he's being a dick. It's because WWE waters down these wrestlers. They could still hit a move. They could still do this. They could still do that. But they don't have the type of matches that you see in New Japan, that you see sometimes in an AEW pay-per-view. And why? Because WWE wants to prolong their careers. If AJ Styles still worked the style that he did, no pun intended, in Japan, or if he went to AEW and put on the type of matches that you see with the Lucha Bros and the Elite and all this others, AJ Styles by now would, good possibility, would be retired. You just physically can't keep that up. And Kenny Omega, I think he recently said, if I have one more serious injury like this, I'm done. So Kenny Omega, he's got to be, what, 37 years old? So Kenny Omega, if he goes to WWE, first of all, there are so many wrestlers that he could go at. He could immediately feud with Balor. He could feud with Styles. He could realign himself with the Good Brothers. You know, if you want him to go in there and immediately call out a champion, he could go at it with Cody Rhodes. My God, we just brought up four people, and yes, there's ties to the Bullet Club. Is anybody complaining if we have Cody Rhodes and Finn Balor go at it a little bit? Seth Rollins. There are so many wrestlers on the WWE roster that could keep Kenny Omega busy for 2 years. Seriously, for 2 years. And look at Seth Rollins. Seth Rollins is a full-blown sports entertainer. And the motherfucker has some of the best matches that WWE has to offer. You know, being a sports entertainer is not a bad thing. It became a bad, dirty word because of the Vince McMahon association with it, the cartoonish characters, the goofy storyline, shaving Elias's beard and saying it's his brother, you know, doing some really, really moronic things. You know, yes, putting the goofy mask on Karrion Kross, turning Keith Lee into a bear cat. You know, sports entertainer became a dirty word. But being a sports entertainer, especially when you're in the latter years of your career, that's going to save him. Kenny Omega could still work on an extremely high level. So the rumors that WWE is interested because his time is coming to an end, his current AEW contract is coming to a close, AEW would be nuts not to want to bring him in. And at the end of the day, this is a business. You know, that was the mistake that Dixie Carter had. Oh, thank you, Psycho. Kenny Omega's 39, so he's even older than 37. That's the mistake that Dixie Carter made. Dixie Carter thought that some wrestlers would stay because of the loyalty, because of the way she treated them, because of their disdain for WWE. And I think probably the AJ Styles remarks towards Dixie probably broke her heart more than anybody else. And AJ Styles wasn't trying to be cold. AJ Styles wasn't trying to be nasty. Dixie Carter, as much as we used to criticize her, you feel bad because she actually thought that some wrestlers would, you know, just out of, you know, the opportunity and, you know, the relationship they had, that they would stick around a little bit longer. Or maybe, you know, like do a short-term contract. And she realized right away, at the end of the day, it is 100% business. And it's going to be interesting to see how Tony Khan handles Kenny Omega. He's not the only one. Now, the young Bucks, and I could show you examples of it. The young Bucks are having fun on social media right now because they've been tweeting and deleting a few times. They've tweeted and deleted. And what they did was, I'm trying to find a little video clip I wanted to show you all. Hopefully I could find it and pull it up. If not, it may have to wait until Saturday. It's about the $9 billion offer that WWE is insisting on. So we may have to wait. Let me see. I'm checking a couple of more things. Yeah, we'll probably just have to wait until Saturday. That'll be a fun conversation anyway. But, yeah, we'll wait till Saturday for that one. But, you know, with Tony Khan's a billionaire. I know this is going to sound ridiculous, but when you have that much money, you could see something on eBay, a retro game. Oh, I haven't seen that in years. I got to have it. It's the only one out there. It's worth $1,000. Why wouldn't you pay 10 grand or get into a bidding war if you got to have it? You're a billionaire, even if you insanely overpay for something, a car. You know, there's a retro car, classic muscle car, 67 Camaro, you know, 69 Camaro, 63 Vet. And the book value is $100,000 and you pay $250 because the color is your favorite color and you got to have it and there's no one else around like it. When you have that kind of money, you could fucking spend it as careless as you want. So when it comes time for Kenny Omega's deal to be done and the Young Bucks and you see how important they are behind the scenes. See, that's what a lot of people don't understand. When you talk about like Ring of Honor TV and touring, you know, you have to have a production crew. You have to have a whole bunch of employees. You're not just going to have dedicated AEW people like, yeah, I'll do it. You know, I'll do it. You got to pay people. There's a lot of behind the scenes work that's involved. And Kenny Omega and the Young Bucks, how do you replace them behind the scenes? Has AEW ever recovered with Cody Rhodes being gone? You may think, oh, you know, it's business as usual. You don't understand all of the PR work that Cody Rhodes did outside of AEW. All of the outside, you know, agreements and negotiations and even dealing with advertisers and dealing with, you know, companies. You need someone with the suit and tie to do that. And Cody Rhodes, in a lot of cases, was that person. You see how professional he is. He was the one to go out there and negotiate. Who have they replaced him with? We don't hear anything. So now if you imagine if Kenny Omega leaves, who do you replace him with? Moxley? Jericho? Maybe. I don't know how Jericho, how he is as a business suit and tie person. You know, you need people like that. And, you know, Tony Khan is in a situation where if Kenny Omega says, look, WWE's gave me a crazy offer. Tony Khan could turn around and say, look, I'll give you $10 million. Just stay, please. I need you here. I'll give you $15 million. It's none of our business. It's his money. And as crazy as that sounds, oh, I'll give you $10 million. That's bullshit money for Tony Khan. So these guys, listen, Kenny Omega would be a great fit in WWE. The quality of matches would be top-notch. Should Don Callis come with him? I think Don Callis as a manager in WWE, you know, Paul Heyman's not going to be around forever. And no, I'm not saying that Don Callis is a good compliment or a substitute for Paul Heyman. No one could substitute Paul Heyman. But at some point, you know, they are going to dial it back with Paul Heyman a little bit. Paul Heyman has got to be tired as well. Somebody's got to start doing it too. And I think Don Callis actually would be a pretty fun, annoying manager to see on WWE TV. And I could see him hitting the ring, Kenny, by God, Omega. You know, I could see him doing that. I know for the hardcore AEW fans out there, just the idea of any of these guys leaving gets people angry. Oh, no, he'll never leave. That's ridiculous. Oh, they'll fucking have the Miz pin him in his hat. You can't think that way. It's a business. And any wrestler out there that is going to say, look, I took a fraction of what I could have made at WWE because I want to see this company grow. I want to see this. Look, I am convinced I'm convinced that John Moxley would rather be a medium-sized fish in a very small pond than be a big fish in a big pond. I think John Moxley being able to wrestle his style, work the way he wants, brawl, bleed, blade, whatever he does, he loves that physicality. You know, I think Moxley is happier doing what he does in AEW than what he did in WWE. You know, not everybody wants to wear a suit and tie. Not everybody wants to work in the corporate world. And even though you're an entertainer for a, you know, entertainment company, you still have to go by the guidelines of that company. You have to have the, you know, the behavior ethics. You have to, you know, you have to present yourself in a certain way. You know, I remember wrestlers back in the day who would get fined because they didn't show up wearing, you know, certain dress. Like there was a dress code that you had to have. So some wrestlers are content making a little bit less money and not getting, you know, the big giant opportunities because they're having more fun doing what they're doing now. But at the end of the day, you got to look at it like a business. And I think, and no, Sam, AEW contracts do not let them work other promotions, not like WWE. Doesn't always work that way. In fact, wasn't recently Moxley when he signed a deal with AEW, didn't they do something where he was only AEW with a few small exceptions? So no, I mean, if a wrestler wants to ink a certain deal with AEW, they can. But in the end, Kenny Omega would be a great fit for WWE. And AJ Styles, to me, is the perfect example as to why it could work. My God, Finn Balor right now, in all the years that Finn Balor has been in WWE and NXT, the Finn Balor we have right now is my favorite, you know, rendition of or variation of. The version we have of Finn Balor right now, I'm enjoying the most. And I like the Demon. I mean, the way he would come out, it was spectacle. It was just, you know, watching a performance. It was performance art. But as far as the character, this Finn Balor, this Finn Balor right now isn't stumbling off of the top rope in a match with Roman Reigns, fumbling and bumbling. So, you know, you could see that wrestlers that you may think could not adapt to the WWE style would fit in like a glove. I think the Young Bucks, my God, you just throw them against the Usos, there's your first feud. Throw them with the New Day, there's another feud. You know, and you just go on and on and on. So, you know, let's see what happens. Kenny Omega going to WWE isn't going to happen anytime soon. But I will leave you one final comment before I go. Take note that in the past, Tony Khan, like, made comments about Nick Khan and Stephanie and others, you know, or just a general phrase like WWE, stop trying to contact all wrestlers. Stop trying to do that. If you notice, this past week, everybody and their grandmother was talking about WWE interested in Kenny Omega. Now, I think WWE has been interested in Kenny Omega for 5 years. It would be nuts for them not to be. You would ask yourself, why wouldn't they be interested in him? You know what I mean? So WWE interested is common sense. But now with his contract, current deal coming to a close, and everybody and their mother talking about this, it's pretty interesting how Tony Khan is not coming out there and saying, you know, like, you know, people in WWE, stop, you know, trying to, you know, or accusing them of some type of tampering. You know, it's, you don't hear a peep. Plus, you don't hear Kenny Omega saying anything either. So I think he's just loving the buzz around him because at the end of the day, Kenny Omega is concerned about Kenny Omega. And a lot of people have predicted that Kenny Omega would be the next person out from AEW. We'll see what happens. But I think he would be a great fit in WWE. How much he would make, I have no idea. But with WWE up for sale, you know, obviously the new owner would definitely take note of any investments that they make. And yes, Kenny Omega would be a seven-digit investment. But when you're talking about a company that is worth about $9 billion, we'll have some fun with it Saturday. I'm sorry I don't have the video clip here. I mean, I could pull it up in a couple of seconds, but, you know, I will say this. It was funny the last week of all these places not understanding why Vince or WWE is demanding $9 billion. And what I saw, like, a whole bunch of places saying is like, oh, well, this stock, they're only worth $6.5 billion. They didn't take into account the video library, the assets, the other promotions that they own. So it's not just adding up the stock price and saying, oh, they're worth $6.5 billion. They have so much additional. That's where the extra money is coming from. So we'll have that discussion on Saturday. But, you know, when we discuss it, you'll understand why, hey, if, you know, WWE wants $10 billion, you know, they have every right to. It's not out of the question. You know, it's the high end of, you know, their value. But look, you see the amount of assets that they own and you could reproduce and, you know, just repurpose it. It's not just the stock value. You don't just add up the shares and say, oh, this is what the company is worth. WWE is worth billions more than what the stock price is. I'm a little surprised that people don't understand that, but apparently they don't. So, all right, everyone, I'm going to jet out of here. I want to thank you for joining me tonight. Fun conversation, as always. For my Patreon family, patreon.com/DonTony. Tomorrow's off the cuff. So everyone will be able to be a part of that. I'll have the thread up early in the morning. So if you want to be a part of that, I will be a Wednesday after AEW. We will definitely talk Dynamite. We'll talk NXT. And yes, I got all the emails and the DMs about Bischoff's comment towards Tony Khan. Let's just say he used the term petulant child. That is the phrase I've been using for the last year. And like minds, you know, thinking alike, that's a good thing. But yeah, we will definitely talk about Bischoff's remarks. I definitely expect Tony Khan to reply to those. It wasn't very favorable. And, you know, hopefully things subside with the Ariel Helwani stuff. Totally unnecessary. There was absolutely no reason for it to go the way it did this weekend. You know, it was just a fun weekend to be a wrestling fan, whether you like New Japan or WWE or anything else. And I just think this, you know, this divisiveness, you know, it's just, I think people are sick of it. I think people are really sick of the divisiveness. And that's a lot of what we felt the last week. So everyone, if you enjoyed the show, you know what to do. And I hope everyone has a great rest of their week. All the best. And yeah, I'm out of here. So hopefully I'll see you tomorrow on Patreon. If not, I'll see you Wednesday after Dynamite. And that's it. Don Tony out.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a podcaster. For me to live any other way was nuts. To me, those goody-good people who work shitty jobs for bum paychecks and took the subway to work every day and worried about their bills were dead. I mean, they were suckers. They had no balls. If I wanted something, I just took it. I ran everything. I paid the bills. I paid the hosts. I even paid the masked maniac. Everybody had their hands out. Everything was for the taking. We always called each other good fellas. You would always hear from somebody. You're gonna like Don Tony. He's all right. He's a good fella. He's one of us. But if you're part of my crew, nobody ever tells you they're gonna get rid of you. It doesn't happen that way. There weren't any arguments or curses like in the movies. See, your haters come with smiles. They come as your friends, the people who've claimed they care the most for your life. And now that's all over. And that's the best part. Today everything is different. There's lots of action. I don't have to wait around for everything like everyone else. Oh, I didn't get the vaccine? Fuck you, vaccine me. Oh, your delivery guy has COVID? Fuck you, feed me. Right after I moved here, I ordered egg noodles and ketchup, and I got spaghetti with meat sauce. I'm no longer an average nobody, while they get to live the rest of their lives like a bunch of schnooks.